Amen. Grace and peace to the household of faith. Amen. Thank God for another day. Just in corroboration, our gospel give us the total insight of the fullness of what God has done for us in eternity. You know, before you were even born, whatever your age is, you know, before you were even born, God had your course already set. Every problem that you said, what about my problems? Everything God had already solved. And before we get into the word, watch my clock now. Don't. I'm not going to break that record, Pastor today. Anyway, I want to acknowledge a couple of dear friends of my wife and I's, Pastor Terrell and Yvonne Humes. Wonderful couple that we met. I would dare to say it was 25 years. And it came by the house about a week ago, and we just shared some things. And it's a wonderful, wonderful couple that we love very much. And also want to acknowledge dear friend of mine, Leon and Swope. Leon, don't realize that this set 1978. I joined Santa. We've been knowing Leon for 30 years. We met in pharmaceutical sales over there on the east side on Harper Street. So thank God for them today. Amen. Also, the word is so much I want to say, but the word of God, God is good. My wife, you know, how many know time is moving on? And just like today, yesterday, this past week, the Lord blessed my wife and I to celebrate our 34-year wedding anniversary this past September the 2nd. Amen. And also, let's keep Brother Tracy Dawson in our prayers. Amen. As pastor's son-in-law, let's keep him in our prayers. Amen. He's been a little ill, but God knows what he's doing. Amen. And before we get into one last thing, you look around, like Pastor mentioned earlier about the size. You know, most of God's people walk by what, sight? When they come into a place, it's, oh, you know, where are all the people and all this? You know, let me say, I have been in the small church. I have been in mega churches. It's not a matter of what size the church is, what truth is coming out. And God has always done great things under small situations. Israel was a small nation, but there are many nations that God could have used, but he used the tiny nation of Israel to realize that it's not about you, nation of Israel, it's about me. Amen. And God has used, I turned on the TV today, I mean, I've seen programs, 30,000 people out there in the pulpit, in the audience, and many of them, no word. So, but if if it's 50,000 people, if the word is going forth, amen. If it's two people, if the word is going forth, amen. It's not about the size. Because Jesus was born, when he was born in the earth, he could have been born around, they had the magnificent temples, they had all of this, but God decreed that Jesus was born in a stable. And then God decreed that, the little shepherds, insignificant people, but God gave them the revelation of the birth of the Messiah. So we're not intimidated by size, it's all about the word of God. Let every heart pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for your grace. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy, Father. Oh, God, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Father, we ask, Lord, everything said today, Father, let it glorify thee. Father, let your people, according to your will, see the divine purpose of God. We thank you for the word of God, Father. We thank you, Lord, for Jesus Christ and him crucified, Father. So we ask, Lord, that everything, so Father, move flesh out of the way. Let everything point to Christ and what he's done for us in eternity. Oh, God, let Christ be magnified. And as we move forward, Father, in every situation, we'll be mindful to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. Let all the people of God say in Jesus' name, amen and amen. I'm going to say one more last thing. I'm getting right into the word. For those of you that didn't, since we have guests here, I want you all to know that our pastor, I realize pastor has not preached since June. And somebody said, Pastor been sick. No. It's like this is a nameless pulpit. In other words, Jesus Christ is the focus in that ministry. So Pastor just, in other words, during the summer, you know, Deacon Gavin, Elder Nicholson, myself, we, the Lord used to preach the word. And there aren't many people that will move aside and let the ministry staff preach for the whole summer. So let's give the Lord a hand for causing Pastor to that situation. Amen. Amen. The book of Hebrews, please. Amen. Chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. We'll read the King James, and then we'll read the interlinear Greek. Who's in our Deacon Gavin is going to be our reader today. I repeat, the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. Now, okay, we'll read, again, trust everybody has it. The book of Hebrews. Okay, you may begin.
Hebrews chapter 1, beginning verse 1, King James Version. God, who at sundry times...
Let's stop right here. When you read the word of God, see, you know you can let the Bible say anything you want to say, but you want truth. In other words, when you read this verse, don't do like the young man years ago when he read the verse and he went to this pastor and said, Pastor, I didn't know the sun was dry. And the pastor said, what are you talking about, man? In other words, he just grabbed this word out of here. It says right here, God who has sundry times, and it ain't got nothing to do. In other words, he just grabbed something out and make a doctrine out of it. Uh-huh. We're going to talk about that today. That ain't got nothing to do with the sun being dry. In other words, let's get right into it. Keep going, D. God who at what now?
Sundry times. And in divers manners.
Spake in time past.
Unto the fathers.
By the prophets. Let's go right into the Greek. Now, for those of you that do not have a Greek, there's one thing in the Grace Gospel Church, and sad to say it should be in every church, it's impossible to understand this Bible if you don't go into the Greek language. The Bible was written in the Greek language, which means that a lot of, thank God for the King James, but not going to King James, but many times, some of the statements said in the King James, you're not going to get the full interpretation if you don't go to the Greek. So if you want to have accurate spiritual pedagogy, you want to go to what is the original thought conveyance in that verse. So let's go there, D. Let's read this in the Greek, please.
Hebrews 1 and 1, interlinear Greek text. In many portions and in many ways.
In many portions and in many ways. Keep going, D. Uh-huh.
Of old. God having spoken. Through the fathers by the prophets. In last days of these, spoke to us in a Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom indeed he made the ages.
He made the ages. In other words, now that word spoke, that is an aorist participle. The participle is a verbal adjective. Aorist tense, past completed action. In other words, it says here, God who at sundry times, in other words, God who at various times, or in different times, God spake through the prophets. God spoke different things at different times. And it says here, notice right here, and no, this not, we want the scripture. What does the scripture say? It says, in diverse manners, in different manners, different ways. God spoke different things, different ways, depending upon your contract. What covenant are you in? When you understand the workings of God, and when you understand the thought conveyance, and whenever you read God's word, you need to understand what is this book I'm reading, and what is God saying in this contract. Now, let's take this one step further. It says here, in times past, God spake through the prophets. That's correct. In time past, through the old covenant, God spoke through Moses, through Joshua, through Nehemiah, through Ezekiel, through Isaiah, through Daniel, and many other prophets. In the Old Testament, God spoke through the prophets. In the kingdom gospel, God spoke through the kingdom prophets. Matthew, Mark, Luke, Peter, James, John. And those prophets, those messages were all consistent. And you'll see today, by the help of God, if you mix these messages, you will be totally confused. Amen. And the reason men of God's people today, I talked to someone the other day, he said, the Lord help him. But he said, brother, you know, I ain't read the Bible in 5 years. I said, he ain't read the Bible, he loved the Lord. But I said, what do you mean? Because it's so confusing. The Bible is not about confusing, but I guarantee you, if you don't divide these messages, it will be a confused book. Now, in time past, God spoke through the prophets. But in these, keep one phrase, says in these, but
half in these last days.
In these last days.
Spoken unto us by his Son.
God has spoken unto us by his Son.
Whom he hath appointed heir of all things.
Whom he appointed heir of all things.
By whom also he made the worlds.
Hallelujah. How is God speaking today? Because I'm going to tell you, the degree that you understand how God is speaking, that's the degree that you're going to be blessed. And the problem that a lot of people have, they're trying to make what God is saying today, they're jumping somewhere else in the Bible, and they're confused. In other words, in this day, time passed, but now ages to come. In this day, God is speaking through the mystery. That volume of truth that was given to the Apostle Paul for the Grace Church. That is how God is speaking today. And if you understand that, you can read anything in the Bible and you'll understand it, because you will see that God, either God is speaking today or he's not speaking today based upon what covenant you're in. In other words, you go to Galatians, God, that's God's message for today. Ephesians, today. Colossians, today. Corinthians, today. Deuteronomy, yesterday, past. Leviticus, past. Joshua, past. And it's said that many preachers are trying to get God's people to dwell in the past. They pull something out and try to put you in bondage. And you know what? If you want to teach the past, the old covenant, you better teach it all.
Amen.
We'll get there in a few minutes. Now, God is preaching, teaching. The move of God is through the mystery.
Yes.
Now, here's a problem. A lot of people don't know what the mystery is. Let's go to Ephesians right now. Amen. What is the mystery? Somebody says, is that some kind of African Hitchcock movie? No. The mystery. The mystery. What is the mystery? Amen. And then we're going to look at something, some characteristics of the mystery. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 through 6. What is the mystery? Now, I still hear some pages. We can take our time, because we don't want you to see man a personal opinion. We want you to see what does the word say. Amen?
Right.
Ephesians chapter 3. Let's look at the word. Verse 1. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 through 6. We're going to do the King James and the Interlinear. Amen.
Ephesians chapter 3, beginning at the first verse. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles.
For you Gentiles. Let's stop here. I'm making an assessment, and I can see that I would say that everyone here is Gentile. It says right here, this is for you Gentiles. The Apostle Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. And you'll find, when you're looking at your direction, church, Romans through Hebrews, those 14 epistles of Paul, those are the letters to the Gentiles.
Yeah.
Now, let's clarify this. We're saying, and also the Bible tells us that in Romans 11:5, even today there's a remnant of what? Jews, elected according to the election of grace. So there's still a remnant of Jews today that God has called in the body of Christ. They may have ethnicity of Israel, but when they were saved in eternity, they are members in the body of Christ.
Amen.
And you need to understand the direction that God has. God has directions for the nation of Israel.
Amen.
And he has directions for the body of Christ.
Amen.
And the sad thing, what God has for you is greater. It's in more depth than what he has for the nation of Israel. And what is it that so many of God's people, they go there to what God has done for Israel, wonderful. But compared to what he's done for you, he's done so much more. Amen? Now, let's go deep. Let's keep reading. We're reading again. Ephesians 3, verse 1 through 6.
Ephesians 3, verse 2.
Okay.
If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you.
It's right there, church. Paul said, the dispensation of the grace of God. God gave it to me to give to you. Now, how much plainer can you get and be? God gave Paul the revelation of the mystery in the grace dispensation. But now, that's another thing that's going to trip a lot of people. Many of God's people don't know what a dispensation is. See? So there are two words here. If you don't understand these two words, you're going to miss the whole context of what God has done for you. Keep reading.
Verse 3. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words.
Now, they go right to the... Now, for those that do not have the Greek, just kind of bear with us. He's going to read this in the interlinear Greek, okay? Yeah, keep going, yes.
Back to verse 2.
Please, yes.
Ephesians 3:2, interlinear Greek text. If indeed ye heard the stewardship of the grace of God given to me for you, that by way of revelation was made known to me the mystery, as I previously wrote in brief.
Notice Paul says God gave Paul the revelation of the mystery. Now, when you're looking at the revelation of the mystery, in simplest terms, it's that volume of truth that was given to the Apostle Paul for the Grace Church. That volume of truth. Now, like we mentioned earlier, this whole Bible is true. Genesis is true. Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Samuel, the whole Bible is true. But in this Bible, there's an element of truth for the Grace Church that contains information that you don't see in the other writings. And the worst thing you can do is mix up what God gave to Paul and what God gave to Peter, and you're going to be totally confused. Because if you're looking at what Jesus said in the Kingdom Gospel, Jesus said, go and baptize. Now, somebody, is that the truth? Absolutely, that's the truth. That was the truth in what kingdom what? In kingdom law. And by the way, the gospel of the kingdom is embedded in the law.
That's right.
So, Jesus told us, he commanded them to go and baptize. Those were the marching orders on the kingdom gospel. So if you see it's consistent in Matthew, Mark, Luke. Baptism is consistent. But now if you go over our gospel, Paul mentioned over in Corinthians, he states that, we know, he mentioned a couple of names, but he said, let me say this, brothers, let you paraphrase something. Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel.
Amen.
And he went on to say that our baptism, we are baptized in the body of Christ.
Amen.
And see, that word baptized, people have got it all confused, because number one, the word baptism is only means identification. In other words, those that God called as the under the law, they were baptized. The commandments that God gave to Moses. God used an outward sign, which was what, water baptism, to identify that they were the recipients under the Mosaic law. We are members in the body of Christ. Our contract is spiritual. Which means that if God saved you in eternity, our contract, for by one spirit have we all been baptized. Or we were baptized in eternity, because if we were saved in eternity, we were baptized in eternity. The baptism for the Grace Church today is not physical.
I hear you. Come on now.
Now that's enough to get you. You go to most churches, you tell them that the baptism is not physical. You'll get thrown out of most churches today. Amen. Now, when you look at dispensation, it's nothing but an economy or a house rule. And each dispensation, in other words, God has worked through various dispensations that verify his workings. And you need to know what dispensation you're in to understand how God is working in that time period.
Amen.
And for real quick, if you look at the seven dispensations, you have the dispensation, and each dispensation has what we call a federal head. In other words, when God introduced a new dispensation, he used one person to usher in that dispensation. For example, innocence. God, innocence, the federal head was Adam. Number two, conscience. Federal head was Adam. Number three, human government. Federal head was Noah. Number four, dispensation of promise. Federal head was Abraham. Number five, the dispensation of the law. Federal head was Moses. Six, the dispensation of grace. Federal head, the Apostle Paul. And seven, the dispensation of the kingdom. Thank God, the federal head is Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ being the federal head of the kingdom, that kingdom messianic gospel, that gospel that Jesus preached, Matthew, John, that kingdom gospel, the criteria of that kingdom gospel being manifest in the earth was that the Jews had to accept Jesus as their Messiah. And if they accepted him as the Messiah, God, through legal right, had to usher in that kingdom. But God had another plan. God caused them to reject the kingdom message. And you know, people get excited about on the day of Pentecost. Hello, I can say something else about that one. But they say, oh, thousands of Jews were out there listening to the kingdom message. And the whole focus, what was the kingdom message? The whole focus of the kingdom message, the umbrella of that message was the new covenant. In other words, the old covenant nobody could keep. So Jesus came and preached the kingdom gospel. And in essence, it said, turn away from the law, guys, because you couldn't keep it. And look to me. I am the one. I am the Savior. I kept all the law. Jesus was born under the law. He kept all the law. So by them accepting Christ as their Savior, they could identify with the new covenant. But notice at that time, God had a secret. Because when they rejected that message, and by the way, when you say that, oh, thousands came to the Lord that time, amen. But by and large, the nation of Israel rejected Jesus. And you know they rejected, where they hated Jesus. And you, to this day, you know, I was going down there, I live right off Sherazetta there on Bell Road there, and I was driving through there yesterday, man, they had cars everywhere. You know, if I had walked in that place, and I told them that, oh, guys, hey, Jesus is the Messiah. If I walk in that place and say, you're not saved by the law, you're saved by trusting Jesus. You know, I guarantee you, Pastor, you wouldn't have another preacher today, because I probably wouldn't be here. To this day, they have been blinded. That's what Paul said in Romans. The Jews have been blinded, and they will be blinded until this dispensation ends. And then God is going to what? Close out this dispensation? And then the everlasting gospel is going to be preached. So don't you try to convince a Jew to accept Jesus today. You're wasting your time. If God has opened up their eyes, they will accept. And by the way, not only that, anybody, don't you try to beat somebody out of the head to believe. Listen, if God has not ordained them to believe the gospel, you're wasting your time. And we're not saying you shouldn't share the good news. But you share the good news, and what? That's all you can. Hey, leave the Holy Spirit is the one that gives revelation and truth. The Holy Spirit is the teacher. Amen. So, the kingdom gospel is on hold. Now, there are some things that Jesus said. Amen. Wonderful. The love of God, we get your love today. There are many things that Jesus said that what? They crossed dispensation lines. But you always start with what? The letters to the church. Because these are our marching orders. Those 14 epistles of Paul, these are our marching orders. And if you're going to make a doctrine out of what Jesus said, which that message is on hold. When he preached that 2,000 years ago, he was preaching the way the kingdom is going to operate. But if you try to make that applicable to today, you'll be confused. I mean, one account, Jesus said, that people, a person thought they were going to hell because this person had done them wrong and they just couldn't forgive. And they ran over there with Jesus said, if you forgive men not their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you. And this person was in total condemnation because someone had hurt her bad. And she grabbed that scripture, thinking that she was going, she said, well, you know, if I go die with this unforgiveness, I ain't no way I can be saved. That's another dispensation. What's our contract? Should we forgive? Absolutely. But we don't forgive to be forgiven. The Bible says this. We are to forgive even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. So our mode of forgiveness is different under grace than under the kingdom. So you could you'd be all messed up. You go over there, Jesus said a lot of things. He said, well, if somebody will turn the other cheek, if they smack you on the right hand, turn the other also. And see, if you know what? If you keep the word of God consistent, you don't have to make a lot of stuff. Now, someone told one of my pastors, one of my previous pastors, went on to be the Lord. Oh, he had a lot of humor. I ain't calling names. Y'all know him. But he said some of them that he was, he was teaching from Matthew. You get here? If you go to the wrong contract, you'll be confused. And so this Sunday he was teaching from Matthew, and someone after church pulled him aside and said, Bishop, the Bible says that if somebody smack you on the right, you to turn. Does that mean that if somebody come to your church right now and they smack you side of the head, smack you, you gonna turn? He said, well, look, if somebody do that, you can forget that scripture. And I see, you know what? And this bishop carried a gun, so I know it. See, you got it wrong. Now, did Jesus, let me hold on. Jesus meant everything he said. But in this present evil age, you better do what it can to protect yourself. And we're not, by the way, we're not advocating people go around guns. That's been you and God. I mean, that's, hey, for me, we had kids in the house. The Lord bless us. You know, my beautiful daughter's here. When kids growing up, I say, the Lord has never led me that route. Amen. And I'm not condemning the one that has one. But I will say this. You let depravity manifest, you don't know what you'll do. So I just, the Bible says what? The Bible tells that what? Give no place to the what? Flesh, right? Because I know some of those trying days come in for work, and those kids acting crazy. And I know that bad boy's out there. Somebody say, I wouldn't do it. Listen, you don't know what you'll do. If God did not hold back your depravity, you don't know what you'll do. And people get all messed up and see God's people mess up, do crazy stuff. The Bible says we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you, if somebody mess up, thank God that he held back your depravity. But everyone is capable. There's no good in your flesh. And the problem that a lot of preachers, they're trying to tell God's people to try to get perfect through the flesh. The flesh is depraved. No, we are to identify with Christ. But on any given day, anybody can mess up. On any given day, some of y'all mess up before you got here today. I know. You know, amen? So just let the word of God speak. So you don't, so when you keep, so when you go to those portions of the Bible, you know those information is written what? For you, but it's not to you. Do not go outside the Bible for doctrine. You will be confused. Now, when you look at what the Bible is talks about in terms of our gospel, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter. In other words, you know, we mentioned the what? We mentioned the dispensations. Now, how should we handle? What's the proper methodology of those dispensations? What is the proper methodology? Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. You can go right into the King James, be all right. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Notice, we mentioned the dispensations, but what's the methodology in comprehending those dispensations? What are the guidelines to stay safe? What is it?
Second
Timothy chapter 2, verse 15.
King James Version. Study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Notice now, this is Paul telling Timothy. Now, if you just do a little historical analysis, how many of y'all know, everybody know the student, how many know that Timothy was a student of Paul? And Paul tells Timothy, Timothy, to get the full understanding of what God is doing, you better divide this word. Divide these dispensations. Divide these contracts. Notice history. Lois and Eunice. Timothy's what? Mother and grandmother. Notice. Timothy was trained under the law. He knew the law. And when you read Timothy's, Paul's writing letters to Timothy, he admonishes Timothy, the things that you've heard of me, you go and do and teach.
Right.
Notice, Timothy heard a lot of truth. He was taught what? He was taught the law. That's the truth. The law is true. Timothy was taught the law. But Paul tells Timothy, you divide this word, and the things that you have been heard from me, you go do and teach. So in other words, the mystery, it stands on its own. And you cannot mess up these messages, and you cannot mess up the messenger. Let me explain by there. I heard this before. I heard people say, you know, we all know this historical account. Jesus had the 12 disciples. They were called to go preach the gospel of the kingdom. The Messiah has come, our Savior. And everybody, and by the way, understand, church, when we say the kingdom gospel, it's not for us today. We're saying we're not minimizing that message, those messages. It is the Lord himself. In fact, I believe your Bible, you go to that what? Matthew, Mark, Luke, everything that Jesus says in red. Everything that Jesus said is what? It's true. But his recipients was to the nation of Israel. And if you try to put yourself there, I heard people say, oh, if I wish I was in the earth and Jesus, I would love to come to Jesus. Listen, you've been a Gentile.
Right.
Jesus said, I am not sent, but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But in manifestation-wise, if you came to Jesus in that day, he would have said, hey, get away from me. At that time, pre-mystery, God had not, Paul was living at that time, but God had not, God was dealing with the nation of Israel. And that kingdom message, if you understand, there are different orders in that contract than what we have. In grace, God gives a higher volume of truth than any of the other writings. And when I mentioned the messenger, you know, we said we mentioned every dispensation has a leader. We have the kingdom apostles. Peter was a leader in the kingdom church. And I've heard people say, well, you know, when, you know, the 12 disciples, when one sent Judas fell, they said, now Paul replaced Judas. So Paul was that's 12 now. Listen. Peter was a kingdom apostle. Paul was a grace apostle. And he said right there in Galatians, he says, you know, we don't have time to go there, but it says right there in Galatians says, to Peter was committed the gospel of the kingdom, to me, Paul was committed the gospel of the grace of God. There are different recipients. And now, some people say, well, Peter, Paul was one of the 12. Peter said himself that our brother Paul, the things that God has revealed to him, it's hard to understand. How could Peter and Paul be preaching the same thing when Peter said himself that our brother Paul, with the wisdom that God gave to him, the things that he preached is hard to understand? Because what Peter, what Paul was preaching, prior to the revelation of the mystery, it was unheard of before. Paul preached that we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. In the mystery, we are accepted in the beloved. Paul preached that we have obtained an inheritance. In our gospel, we have been predestinated according to the adoption of children. In our gospel, we are holy. We are sanctified. We've been called. In our gospel, we are justified. In our gospel, we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings. In our gospel, our blessings, they are in the heavenlies, and where are the heavenlies? In Christ Jesus. You don't get this information in the other writings. Now, even in the natural realm, when I went to college, you know, I had I decided to major in science. You know, I'm a science teacher, and I said, you know, but the basic major is chemistry. And I remember, you know, when my counselor interviewed me, they said, "Now, son, you want to major in chemistry, right?" I said, "Yeah." They said, "Well, here's your here." They gave me the curriculum. They gave me my 4-year curriculum. They said, "Now, if you want to get by this course, you better spend most of your time in these subjects." Now, here, I'm going to be a chemistry major. I'm going to spend 90% of my time in music and the arts. Now, I'm not knocking, but that was I had to spend my time in my curriculum based upon that time period. So what we're saying is that in our gospel, your major focus is those 14 epistles of Paul. And we're not saying don't read Deuteronomy, or don't read Leviticus, but you better read it from the perspective of our gospel. Now, in the further analysis of this, the further understanding of our gospel, let's go to 2 Timothy. Since we mentioned, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. Second Timothy chapter 2. Verse 7 and 8. I tell you what, before we do that, y'all hold on to that, but let's give you some, since we just mentioned the mystery, let's give you some characteristics. What are some characteristics of the mystery? Okay, we're gonna get there. In other words, Paul makes a unique statement in 2 Timothy, but before I jump the gun there, let's look at some characteristics of the mystery, which we understand now, is those 14 epistles of Paul. What are some characteristics? Our gospel, the mystery, the focus is on eternity, not time. Right there, if you focus on that, it's going to liberate you from a lot of confusion. Because most of you have been in churches where they are saying that in order to be saved, you got to do something. And by the way, let me say this. If anybody ever told you that you have to do anything to be saved, they have destroyed grace. Because the Bible tells us that we were saved in eternity. I think I got to go there. I'm sorry. Ephesians chapter 1. Got to go there. Ephesians chapter 1. You know, if you understand this, let me say this. Everything begins with salvation. If you understand your personal relationship with God, you see, you won't be at the whims of men. You see, you got to understand. And I remember I was 10 years ago, I was reading from Paul's epistles, and one thing, I just couldn't quite get it. But thank God for knowledge. I said, everywhere this man preached, they want to kill him. They want to put him in prison. I said, everything. I said, man, they hate that man. You got to understand the time frame that you're in. In that time period, what were the Jews? What was the culture like? The Jews were under the law. And one outstanding statement that God, the revelation of mystery states that, for we are not under the law, but we are under grace. So you tell someone that have been under the law system for hundreds and thousands of years that you are no longer under the law, you have to get killed. So in fact, one account, you know, one account, Paul was preaching, and there was a group of Jews. They said, they came together, and they said, listen to this now, they said, we are not going to eat anything else until Paul is dead. They did not hate Paul because of his personality. They didn't hate Paul because of what they hated Paul because of the way he preached. And when you preach the truth, it's not popular, but keep this in mind. So what is right is not always popular. And what is popular is not always right.
Come on, y'all.
I can go anywhere, I can turn on many messages. Man, that is a popular message. It is popular to say that you can write your ticket with God, or you can command the blessing of God. That's popular, but that's not right. And you get confused because what happened, God, they jump up there in Matthew and say, Jesus, he healed all of them. And then, all of a sudden, somebody you know got sick. And all of a sudden, you say, wait a minute, it read right there, Jesus said in Matthew, he healed all of them, and you lay hands on them, instead of getting sick, they die. And you're man of God. If you understand the workings of God, does God heal today? Absolutely. But there's a criteria in the Grace Church. Healing is not, they say Jesus healed them all. In the kingdom era, in the kingdom dispensation, everybody can get healed. But if you grab that and what? Apply it to today, like the account where the Jesus sister was sick, sister had cancer, and her sister had cancer, and she went, somebody, the preacher told her the scripture, and she flew to Chicago, laid hands on the sick, and told all the family, oh, my sister's going to be healed, oh, you know, because of what the preacher said. And the sister died, and she had a nervous breakdown, man of God. God works according to his will. Yes, if I get sick today, please pray that the Lord will heal me, but you better ask, Lord, let thy will be done. And if you're not going to say, Lord, let thy will be done, don't pray. If you say, let thy will be done, saints, you're covered. If you die, hey, man, you're with the Lord. Man, that's a great thing. No more crazy stuff down here. If the Lord heals you, wonderful. But let thy will be done. And see, one thing, the truth is consistent. And I've always thought about these healing preachers. They say, oh, yeah, God heals everybody. Well, if that's the case, why don't they go to Providence? Why don't they go to Beaumont? Why don't they go to all these hospitals and raise up everybody?
I hear
you. You say God heals everybody? Yes. There are many at Beaumont, Providence, St. John's. Some are going to be raised, healed. Many others won't be. It's according to God's will, plan, and purpose. Now, let's go to Ephesians. Come on. Oh, by the way, I mentioned. Okay, D, let's go to Ephesians. 1 through 4, we got to go there. Stop the salvation, okay? Ephesians 1 through 4. Let's go to King James, since most of you did. Interlinear, come on, interlinear. So we're going to read this in the interlinear Greek. Just bear with us. Ephesians 1 4, if you get salvation right, you're going to be clear on the other things in the Bible. Okay, let's read Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 through 4, D.
Ephesians chapter 1, interlinear Greek text. 1 through 4.
Yes.
Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, through the will of God, to the saints being in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you. And peace. From God, Father of us. And Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed the God and Father of the Lord of us, Jesus Christ, the one having blessed us in each and every blessing spiritual.
Each and every blessing spiritual. Keep going.
In the heavenlies.
In Christ.
As he chose us.
Now, here's the key. Wait a minute. We got to stop here. When you tell somebody, you say, when God chose you. You know that a lot of people would tell you, oh, I was chosen 30 years ago. How you know? Because I got baptized. Oh, I spoke in tongues. They would tell you, God chose me. Then they'll say, if God didn't chose me 30 years ago, if God hadn't chose me, then I would have gone to hell. Let's see what does our contract say? Keep going, D.
As he chose us in him
before
the foundation of the world.
Before the foundation of the world.
Us being holy and unblameable before him in love.
In love. You were, church, you were chosen before the foundation of the world. You were chosen in eternity. Before you came on the scene, God had your salvation already secure. When was it secure? Was it secure in time or was it secure in eternity? In eternity. See, if you major in the other writings, it's written from the point of that covenant. And see, if you go to Deuteronomy and go there for doctrine, do you know what it'll read like? If you do this, God will do that. But that's the language of that covenant. That's the language of that covenant. If you go to Joshua, all the Old Testament books, if you do this, God will do that. That's the language of those covenants. In the kingdom gospel, Jesus said, if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. That's the language of that covenant. Our gospel, unconditional. You were saved in eternity, period. You know what? I'm going to tell you what happened. If you go to a lot of places, let's say God give you the light that you were saved in eternity, and you go to, let's say you go to the SYZ church, and by the way, please, we're not knocking church per se. We're just saying, we gotta preach the truth, amen? And if you tell that preacher, oh, by the way, the Lord, just, I'm saved, and I want to join your church. You know what most of them say? Wait a minute, I don't know you. What do you mean you were saved? Yeah, I'm saved! And let's say if this church majors in what on baptism or whatever their directors are, you say, God saved me before the foundation of the world. Say, what? Not according to our place. Not according to this. Who gives this depraved man some right to determine whether or not you're saved? God already revealed that you were saved in eternity. You see the security in being in our gospel. If somebody ever put their cloak and said, well, Reverend, you know, you don't believe like I do, so you may not be saved. I laugh at them. You know why? Because the Bible tells that what? The Spirit of God bears witness with your spirit that you are the, what, sons of God. You see, our gospel brings security and liberation because it looks at things from the eternal viewpoint. Let's move on. In our gospel, the focus is on the spiritual, not the physical. And God's people, most of God's people today are physical. Amen. And our gospel, the message is spiritual. Yes. So when you go to the other writings, when they're looking at shaking the preacher's hands, or when they're looking at what? Baptism. Amen. Or when they're looking at tongues. How many of you know that these are physical signs? But somebody said it was written. Yes, it was written. But what time frame are you in? Amen. Our gospel is spiritual. Yes. Why do you think Paul had such a battle with those Corinthians? Because they were saved in eternity. But what was their mindset? Have you thought about this? I've already thought about this. Why is it that you don't see anything about tongues in Galatians, in Colossians, in Ephesians? In those mature epistles written by Paul, you don't see anything about tongues. And if the word baptism is this mention, it's spiritual baptism. But when you go to the other writings, you will see information on what? Baptism, tongues, laying on hands. And Paul even mentioned to the Hebrews, let us move on. Let us move, the whole book of Hebrews, let us move on to maturity. Let us move on to grace. Because here, there were some caught in the law. Paul said, turn from the law and move to Christ. Then there were some that caught up in the kingdom law. Paul said, move from kingdom law and turn to Christ. He said, move on to maturity. What do you mean when Paul says, we have a better covenant? Which is built upon better promises.
Yeah.
Our covenant is a better covenant. Yeah. What is it? See, here's another problem. People, we just read, Paul tells Timothy to rightly divide the word of truth. Now, we mentioned under the umbrella of the seven dispensations, there are three, even though there are different covenants, in those seven dispensations, church, there are three main covenants. The old covenant, the new covenant, and the grace covenant. And you have to divide those covenants because they have different messages. And if you divide those messages, you won't be confused. For those of you, in fact, many of you, since we have guests today, let me say this. I told you all my testimony when I was 10 years ago. You all know what it is. You read something or you watch a TV program and they say, if you don't understand this, write it down and the Lord will give you understanding. So I had about 4 to 4 scriptures written in my office that just did not make sense. And one of them we just read, when Jesus said, turn the other cheek. And it's another account, Jesus said, if somebody asks of thee, do not turn them away. I said, wait a minute. You mean tell me if somebody asks to borrow something, I shouldn't turn them away? Listen, in this present evil age, you better turn some of these people away. I mean, Jesus did not say, He did not say to you to just lend everything. Give her everything. But by the way, now, we are what? Grace? As God lead you to give, thank God. We are a grace-giving church. Amen? We are a grace-giving church. We're not a tithing church. Now, let me say this. Somebody said, isn't tithe in the Bible? Absolutely. You go over there to Malachi. I say to say, there are preachers, bishops, that hold God's people in bondage because they run over there at Malachi and they tell me, they say, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. And there be me. If you don't tithe, you curse. And God's people are held in bondage.
Yep.
Let me say this. If you understand the workings of God, we just mentioned earlier, who is God talking to? Who is Malachi written to? It was written to the Commonwealth of Israel.
Yes.
Understand, in that covenant, they had to be told when to go to bed, when to get up,
yes,
when to wash. They had to be told everything because that's the language of the old covenant. And it's written on an elementary plane of God's workings. And God was not going to give them no more than what was in that covenant. It was the elementary things of the gospel, of God's work. Was it true? Absolutely. The whole Bible is true. The whole Bible is God's word. But you need to understand what is written to you. And we just read, Paul said, for you Gentiles, so what's another thing about the mystery? It operates on a plane of greater light. You have more information. And it's sad to say, the man that wrote 3/4 of the Bible, it's sad to say, you hear very little preaching on these epistles of Paul.
That's right.
Somebody said, well, you act like you were prioritizing those messages. Thank you, absolutely. Thank God you got it. Because, listen, if you do not prioritize those messages, you're going to jump over there in other parts of the Bible where at that time, God had no relationship with you.
None.
And one time I read that, I didn't understand this, and I said, you read this, and I said, you know what? I know God is true, honest. I'm going back 20 years ago, but it's like, why was God so hard on these Gentiles? Why was he so hard on the Gentiles? Man, it's like, listen, God is a God of covenants.
Covenant. Yes.
And by the way, somebody said, you mean tell me, oh, God did not have no workers with the Gentiles, and that means that all of them that live in the what? In Peter's day, in Joshua's day, and they all went to hell. No. See, when you get the right information, it clears up stuff. I thought one time that anybody other than Israel during that time all went to hell. Even though God did not save Gentiles as a national policy, God always saves based on election. You are saved today not because you shook a preacher's hand, not because you did this. Anything that you've done, you destroy grace. What does the Bible say? Go to Ephesians 2:8. For, you know what I'm saying? For by grace I'll be saved through faith. And that it is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not a works, not a works, not a baptism, not a tongues, not a faith. That's any man should boast. And they will boast. I heard they'll tell you, oh, I got saved because I did something. And see, they got this out of context because when it says, for we are for by grace are we saved through faith, because most people do not go into the Greek. If you look at the original Greek, by the way, the Bible is written in Greek. It is impossible to understand the workings of God if you don't go to the original Greek in many of these verses. We are not, when we say saved by faith, we're not saying if you use your faith and then you got saved. You are saved by the faithfulness of Jesus. What he did in eternity. And here's another problem. If you don't put the workings of God in eternity, you'll be confused. You ask most people, when did Jesus die? Oh, he died 2,000 years ago. Uh-oh. Jesus died when? People say, most people tell you, he died 2,000 years ago. Let's forget about what man say and what the preacher say. Let's see, what does God's word say? Go to Revelation, please. By the way, even though John, well, thank God, the Lord allowed John to live what? Live way beyond. Listen to the workings of God. When Peter, James, John, Paul, when they were all on the scene, when they were off the scene, they were dead. John was still around. And let's look at John. Go to Revelation chapter 13, verse 8. Yeah, please. Yeah, 13:8, right. Mm-hmm. Okay, give me about 6 more minutes and we'll be out of here, okay? What did John, now somebody, people say, when did, see, if you get the wrong teacher, you know what's going to happen? You got makeup stuff. You got to make up stuff to cover what you already said earlier. 13:8. When was Jesus slain? Let's find out. Here's the question. Ask your question. When did Jesus die? People say, oh, he died 2,000 years ago. Now, there was something in essence about 2,000 years ago on Calvary. Thank God for Calvary. Everybody say, thank God for Calvary. But let's look at this, and come on, let's look at this a little deeper from the perspective of what eternity. Let's read this. I hope everyone has the Bible. Okay, let's read this.
Reading from Revelation 13, chapter 13, verse 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world.
Wait, the Bible, by the way, who's the Lamb, church? Who's the Lamb? Jesus Christ. What did John say? When the Lord gave him the revelation, when the Lord used Jesus, the Lord used John, his whole ministry was to what? Point to Jesus, the Messiah. And we know, what did John say? Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So the Lamb of God here is Jesus. When was he slain? Repeat it again.
The Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world.
Are you in the Greek?
I can go to the Greek.
Go to the Greek, please. All right, now you wonder why we don't go to the Greek? Here's an example. Mm-hmm. Go to the Greek now. I want you to read this loud because I want everybody to hear this. Go to the Greek. When was he slain? Yeah, please.
Revelation 13:8, interlinear Greek text. And will worship him, all the ones dwelling on the earth, of whom has not been written the name of him in the scroll of life, of the Lamb having been slain from the foundation of the world.
Wait a minute. The Lamb having been slain. The Lamb having been slain. When was he slain? Before the foundation of the world. In other words, Jesus was slain by God's decree in eternity. It was decreed that he would be slain. It was by God's decree. What about 2,000 years ago? Manifestation. Manifestation. It was decreed in eternity, but it was manifest in time. Somebody say, God calls you to believe in Jesus. Manifestation. God calls you. You were picked in eternity. It was just manifest in time. And when you understand this, you won't be confused about what? Who's saved? Who's not saved? Because you understand it's the workings of God. Now, he was slain. If you understand this, it clears up a lot of things. Because Pastor and I, I mention one thing here. It clears up a lot of things. Here's the key. Salvation. About a few years ago, there was a tribe in some distant part of Africa. I believe it was Africa. An earthquake came. 100,000 people died. And it was reported that all of these were heathens. You know, in terms of nobody didn't know anything about Christianity. And my thinking was that, you know, God is righteous, right? And I said, oh, those people never had a chance to hear the gospel. They all went to hell. You see how we think? Because it said right here that according to man, no preacher was there. They didn't have the faith because they know they were just what? Use the term, they were without knowledge. But what answers that? Election. Those 100,000 people, those that were chosen before the foundation of the world, and we don't know who they were saved. Those that were not chosen, they were lost. And that's God. That's God. That determinant is by God. The sovereignty of God. God does what he wants to do, when he wants to do, and how he wants to do. Amen? Now, I believe I got it here about five. So if I go into 5 more minutes, that means I'm on 5 minutes late. Amen. Because I was up here 5 minutes. So bear with me. I promise I'll be out of here in 5 minutes. Amen. But I got something I got to say. In other words, God did the chosen in eternity, not time. Now, nobody. It cleared up. Now, somebody say, see, people, what about the baby? What about, somebody said, you got to use your faith. Now, listen, by the way, we don't have time to go there. But if you, the Bible said God gives you the faith to believe the gospel. That's right. But that faith was not initiation. That faith was actualization. In other words, the faith that God gives you, that God determined that in eternity. And when you recognize that you are the love of God and you recognize that you are, you are saved. That is the God, that's the revelation that God's given you that you are saved. That's not the initiation. God determined that you are saved in eternity. Now you can understand, some of you, I guarantee some of you, how you can understand now why some of you probably have almost missed a bullet. You look back in your life, you say, how did I get out of that? It was God's decree. It was God's plan. It was God's purpose. God had a purpose, and the only reason that you're here today is because God is not finished with you yet. God still has a plan and purpose for your life. Amen. And when your plan and purpose is out of here, God said, okay, time to come on. What do you mean? Paul said, I finished my course. I've kept the faith. There's laid up to me a crown of righteousness. And the Bible tells us that Nero, the one of the most wicked Roman emperors, Paul was beheaded. And I don't think Paul took any volumes. I don't think he lost any sleep. God showed Paul his course. Your course is over. And Paul says, there is laid up to me a crown of righteousness. And not only me, but to all those that call by his name. Face Nero's chopping block. But not afraid, because God showed him that your course is over. You fought a good fight. You kept the faith. I've used you to usher in a new dispensation for my people. I've used you to preach the gospel of the grace of God, the only gospel that should be preached in this dispensation. I've used you to let Jews and Gentiles know that we're all one in Christ Jesus. Paul, I've used you. You've kept the faith. Now it's time to come home. It's time to get out of the time capsule. So, in closing, If you want the peace that passes all understanding, stay in your gospel. If you want to keep from being confused about the whims of men, if that one account Paul mentions God's people were tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, whatever's coming down, you know so many people, whatever's coming down the pipe, oh brother, there's a prophecy seminar coming up. Whatever's down the pipe, they're there. What they're tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. If you want security, no confusion, peace. If you want the knowledge and understanding that passes all understanding, stay in your gospel. Stay in your contract. The volume of truth that was committed to Paul for the Grace Church. The message is not popular, but it's right. And I'm going to say this one last thing. God used a man to usher in Martin Luther. God used him to preach all understanding. Stay in your gospel. Stay in your contract. The volume of truth. There's a prophecy seminar coming up. Whatever's down the pipe, they're there. What they're tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. About the whims of men. In fact, one account, Paul mentions God's people were tossed to and fro. For the foundation of the world, and we don't know who they were saved. Those that were not chosen, they were lost. And it was clear that, according to man, no priest was there. They didn't have the faith because they were just what? Use the term, they were without knowledge. Church, God bless you.